The sounds of a coffee shop. We're all familiar with the sounds and sights of our local coffee shop. Even more, we know the aroma, the smell of coffee and coffee beans from our favorite coffee spot. But what if the next time you stopped in for coffee, Jesus was there and wanted to have coffee with you? That's the provocative question Mark Roberts is asking in his sermon, A Cup of Coffee with Jesus. Open your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and let's listen to his thought-provoking lesson. What would it be like to get coffee with Jesus?
Good evening, everyone. Let's find the Word of God. It's Luke chapter 19 that I'm going to launch from. You need to load up electronically or on paper. Let's get a word. Let's get the Word of the Lord open and let's look at it together. In Luke chapter 19, I'm going to start with the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus, but lots of Bible tonight. You'll be helped. Your focus, your attention, all will be assisted if you'll look in the Word of God. Let's start in Luke chapter 19. As we're all getting settled in, we're finding our passage in the Bible. I just want you to know how glad I am to see you tonight. Once again, lots of folks visiting with us, people who are important to me. You honor me with your presence here tonight. But more than that, you honor the Lord coming to worship and to hear His Word proclaimed, to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ. These are the things that matter. These are the things that make life full and good and rich. And we get the opportunity to think a little bit about those relationships with the Lord. Beginning in Luke 19 and in verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho, Luke 19, 1, and he was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. He received him joyfully. I love that story, because it is a story about someone who got to know Jesus. Isn't that an incredible idea? That's an idea that people home in on. Survey after survey continues to show that Jesus is without doubt the most significant, the most important, and still the most interesting figure of all of human history. Unfortunately, when you begin to talk with people about getting to know Jesus or building some kind of relationship with the Lord, many times people are encumbered with the thinking that somehow that means I would need to go to seminary or learn an archaic language or get involved in all kinds of complexities and complex ideas. Well, you know, I don't know a lot about complex and complicated. I can't talk a lot about those kinds of things. But I can talk to you about coffee. I love coffee. Coffee is not sinful. It's not fattening. And it's not bad for you. How many things can you say that about? And I do love a good cup of coffee. At my house, I have a great coffee bar. I have an Italian espresso machine that will make you a great latte or even a tremendous cup of joe. And everybody today is about coffee and talking about coffee. And what do people say all the time? Let's go get coffee. There's coffee shops everywhere, from that national chain with the big green logo to local coffee shops. You can even get a latte at McDonald's, which is really frightening. But everybody today talks about, let's get coffee and catch up. Let's get coffee. We'll study together. Let's get coffee. Let's visit some. Because that's a great way to build relationship, to get to know someone. Can I ask you a question? What if Jesus said to you, let's get coffee? Wow. I mean, that's something to think about. Kind of makes you excited and terrified all at the same time. I want to get coffee with you. That's actually very much what happened in our text in Luke 19, isn't it? No, I am aware that Jesus and Zacchaeus did not go for latte. But Jesus did say to Zacchaeus in our text, I want to get to know you. I want to talk to you privately. I want us to be together individually. We're going to get away from all these crowds. We're going to talk one-on-one. I want to spend time with you. Zacchaeus got that opportunity to get to know Jesus and build relationship with him. What is that like? Well, I think I can tell you. Because in the Gospels, there are numerous people who have conversations with Jesus. We think of Jesus teaching, and while oftentimes what we think of is Jesus addressing the masses, the throngs, thousands on a hillside in Galilee. We think of Jesus addressing hundreds of people at one time, and for certain, Jesus did that kind of preaching and teaching. But the Gospels also reveal that Jesus many times was involved in private conversations, talking with one person or just a handful of people at any one time. Those people learned about building a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus was doing with Zacchaeus. We talk about, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? People say that kind of thing all the time. What does that really mean? What it means is to get to know someone so that you're interested in them and you care about them because you trust them. That's what Jesus and Zacchaeus are doing. They're building relationship. And if you look in the Bible, as you read through the Gospels, and you watch Jesus talk with people one-on-one to build that relationship, what you'll see is that there are some constants in those conversations. There are some things that just nearly always happen, whether Jesus is talking to a Sanhedrin councilman, or whether he's talking to a Roman centurion, or whether he's talking to a woman at a well. When you talk with Jesus, there are some things that are sure to happen. And I want to point those things out. Because I am challenging you to think a little bit about what it would be like if Jesus said, I want to have a one-on-one conversation with you. I want to have a cup of coffee with you. I should tell you this, that one of the constants in those conversations with Jesus is that Jesus oftentimes rocks people's world. Building a relationship with Jesus always leads to significant life change. You ready for that? So really, there's an edge here. There's a little bit of daring. There's a little bit of risk. You want to sit down with Jesus Christ? How's that going to go? The Bible tells us. Let me share with you three truths about talking one-on-one with Jesus Christ. That begins, first and foremost, with dealing with the most common opposition I had to this sermon. Somebody's thinking, wait a minute. Jesus was so busy doing big, important things. It would be so cool to have a cup of coffee with Jesus, but he wouldn't have time for somebody like me. And if you're sitting here thinking that this evening, you need to know, well, you're just right about that. And you're just wrong about that, too. Let me show you what I mean. First and foremost, it is so that Jesus was very busy and enormously popular. Would you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4? In Matthew chapter 4, sometimes we just read right by some of these verses, but a couple of places in the Gospels just show us how big a deal Jesus really was. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 24, read there with me in Matthew's Gospel. In Matthew 4:24, Jesus' fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick and the afflicted of various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons and epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them, and great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. You see how famous Jesus was? Over in Mark's Gospel, in Mark chapter 3 and verse 9, Jesus says to his apostles, this is Mark 3 verse 9, fellas, you see this great crowd? Mark 3:9, he told some of his disciples, to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. Mark 4, 1 says Jesus wasn't just making that up. He needed the boat. Mark 4, 1, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd is beside the sea on the land. I've never needed a boat because there were so many people coming to hear the gospel preached. Jesus actually did that. Let me give you one more in Luke chapter 12. Watch what Luke says. In Luke chapter 12, there in verse 1, the scriptures continue to emphasize the theme of Jesus' celebrity. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 1, in the meantime, while so many thousands of people had gathered together, they were trampling one another. And so he began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Jesus literally had trouble traveling because so many people thronged to hear him, to be around him, to listen to him, to receive a miracle from him. On top of that, dealing with crowds, Jesus was also trying to teach his disciples and train the apostles. And on top of all of that, Jesus had his own prayer life to attend to. So Jesus was super busy. And if that's making you think, man, Jesus never take time for somebody like me, you should know that's exactly what the apostles thought. In Matthew chapter 19, watch there, some people bring children in Matthew 19, 13. They bring children to Jesus in Matthew 19, 13. Then disciples and the children were brought to him, Matthew 19, 13. Children are brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked the people. Back it up. Don't have any time for this kind of nonsense. Jesus, too important for this. Too busy for this. But if you're thinking Jesus wouldn't have a cup of coffee if he was here today, because he's so famous, so busy, you'd know you're mistaken about that. Read the next verse, verse 14. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. The Matthew 19 text shows us that Jesus cared about, Jesus loved people. Jesus went out of his way to talk to people and be with people. Jesus regularly visited with folks. Stay in the Bible with me. How about Luke 11? In Luke chapter 11 and verse 37, while Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee, Luke 11, 37, while Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So, he said, I haven't got time for people like you. No, he didn't. Luke says he went in and reclined at table. Jesus did. He went and ate with that fella. In John chapter 2, you know where I'm going with this? Jesus was invited to a wedding. John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. And you know what? He went. He was there. Jesus loved being with people. Jesus took the initiative and initiated conversations with regular people. So the text that we began with Zacchaeus in Luke 19, there's really nothing out of the ordinary or unusual about that. Jesus was doing that kind of thing all the time because Jesus cared about people. And we need to think about that. In fact, that's what this whole sermon is predicated upon and trying to get us to think a little bit more about. One time I preached this lesson and a lady came out. She was all upset. She looked at me and she said, I'll have you know, there's no coffee in the Bible. I said, I did not know there was a Bible scholar here tonight. I am aware, ma'am, that there is no coffee in the Bible, but I am also aware that Jesus met with and talked with people in the forums and marketplaces and all of the places where people met and gathered, just like people meet and gather in coffee shops today. In fact, somebody will also say as they come out tonight, you know what, that sermon didn't do much for me. I don't like coffee. Work with me. It's a metaphor. If you want to think about having a soda or sweet tea or just a glass of water with Jesus, let's go with it. Because what we're thinking about here is how Jesus cared about people. And when you start thinking about what a celebrity Jesus was, that really ought to, well, that ought to take us back a little bit. Because that isn't how famous people do. That's not how the rich and powerful act. That's not how celebrities handle things. Think about it. Nobody here is a bigger fan of the Dallas Cowboys than this guy right here. I have supported the Dallas Cowboys with many dollars in ticket sales, in merchandise sales. I coach the Cowboys faithfully through my television screen every Sunday. I'm all about the Dallas Cowboys, good times and bad times. Whoa, lots of bad times. I'm all about the Cowboys. What if I called Jerry Jones? He's the owner and general manager. Said, you know what? Let's get coffee. I kind of want to talk with you, Jerry, about some of your moves. I want to visit with you a little bit about what you're doing with the team. You think Jerry Jones would meet me? No. I couldn't even get Jerry Jones on the phone. Jerry Jones has a screen of people in between him and the public so that he does not have to deal with people like me. That's how celebrities act. They live behind high fences with locked gates. And they have lieutenants and appointment secretaries and managers and security personnel who keep everybody back. I need you to know. I need to know. Jesus wouldn't like that. In the Gospels, he's not moving through the crowds in Galilee with a bunch of black-suited security guys pushing people away as they shove Jesus into a bulletproof chariot. We are moving Emmanuel. That's not how it's working. Jesus was just Jesus. Man, what a dumb thing to say. But it's true. He was Jesus. And he cared about people. And he talked to people. And he visited with people. And he tried to help people. And he tried to build relationships with people so that they could be disciples, follow him every day. I have no doubt at all. None. Based on what I see of Jesus in the Gospels, that if Jesus was here now, yes, yes, he would want to sit down and talk. He'd want to have a cup of coffee. Now, as I'm thinking about that, though, where there's a clicker up here, as I'm thinking about that, I should say this. You sit down and talk with Jesus. You need to know. Jesus is going to set the agenda for that conversation. Understand about that? Maybe we get to thinking a little bit about, oh, what would it be like looking in our Bibles? We're watching some of these conversations. What would that be like to be in conversation with Jesus? What would I ask him? Maybe I'd ask him about politics and the hot issue of the day. Global terrorism, what do you think about that? Or maybe I'd ask him, well, what about an issue right there in front of me? You know, should we be using styrofoam cups? Are they going to fill up the landfill? What about fair trade coffee? I know what young people are thinking. They'd be saying to Jesus, have you seen this funny video? Let me show you this video. What social media app are you on, Jesus? I want to get a follow there. That's what young people be thinking about. There might be all kinds of things that we would imagine we would be talking about. There might be all kinds of questions that we think we'd want to ask and we'd want to explore. The conversation is going to go like this and then the conversation is going to go like that. And the answer to that is no. Jesus sets the agenda in conversation. Jesus sets the tone for what we're talking about, what matters, and what I need to think about. That happens in every conversation with Jesus. Watch it in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, read with me there. In Luke chapter 12, there Jesus gets asked by a guy what he thinks is a super important question. In Luke chapter 12, I'm reading there, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 13, someone said, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus said to him, man, Who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And then he said, take care and be on your guard against all kinds of covetousness, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. I'm not even going to talk with you about that, pal. That's not important. In fact, what is important is your relationship with these possessions that you're so consumed with. And in fact, what happens next is Jesus tells the parable of the rich farmer, which concludes, grab verse 21, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. A second ago, we were talking about the will. Now Jesus is talking about me. How I serve the Lord or don't serve the Lord. Hey, Mr. Inheritance Problem, why are you so caught up in all this stuff? Have you ever thought about the limitations of stuff? Stuff ends. You go on. You thought about that? Where are you in your walk with God? Gulp. You want to see that again? Try Mark with me in Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 35. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 35, James and John. In Mark 10:35, James and John had a little moment with Jesus. They said, hey, we know what we want to talk with Jesus about. Mark 10:35, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Just write us a blank check. He said, all right, let's talk about it. 36, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Boys had no idea what they were talking about. No conception of the kingdom that Jesus came to establish. They're thinking of a physical kingdom, and they're thinking of being at Jesus' right hand at a physical throne, and they're going to be big dogs in this kingdom with fancy clothes and medals on the front and all kinds of people looking at them and saying, aren't they important? Look where they're standing. He says, fellas, it's not like that. You don't know, verse 38. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? They said to him, we are able. Optimistic but naive. Jesus said, the cup I drink, you will drink. Baptism with which I'm baptized, you will be baptized. Talking about suffering there, isn't he? But to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to grant. It's for those for whom it's been prepared. Wow, that didn't go like we thought it was going to go. Jesus went a different direction with that. In fact, when the ten heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. So Jesus called all of them over, verse 42, and said, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones exercise authority over them. It will not be so among you. Whoever be great among you must be your servant. Whoever be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's a Jesus conversation. Jesus takes everything and immediately begins to talk about the kingdom of God. Immediately begins to talk about your relationship with the Lord. Immediately begins to talk about serving. Always serving. That's Jesus. You so sure you want to have coffee with him now? Go over in John 4. In John chapter 4, watch how confrontational Jesus can be. In John chapter 4, Jesus sat down for a moment with a woman at a well in Samaria. Wasn't coffee, but he did want a cup, didn't he? A cup of water. And so he says in John 4, verse 7, a woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said, give me a drink. A little surprising. Samaritans and Jews don't mix at all. And the Samaritan woman said in verse 9, how is it you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Watch Jesus go immediately to the spiritual. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him. He would have given you living water. Living water. She doesn't say three words hardly. And Jesus is talking about spiritual realities. She says, buddy, you don't even have anything to get water out of the well. How are you going to get any of this living water? Verse 11, are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well. He drank from it. His sons, his livestock. Jesus said, you drink this water, verse 13, you'll get thirsty again. You drink of the water that I have, verse 14, you'll never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. She's listening now. The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so that I'll not be thirsty or have to come out here to draw water." And then Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." Awkward. You can see her stuttering and stammering. "Well, I don't have a husband." Jesus said, "I know you don't have a husband. You have had five husbands," verse 18, "and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." So by now, she's starting to sweat bullets, and she thinks, "You know what I need to do? We just ought to play some religious trivia. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? Let's talk about something like that. Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. You say in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Let's see if we can talk about some theological oddity off to the side and get away from me and my life." Jesus bores in on her. "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming that neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Jesus is relentless. This conversation keeps coming back to spiritual things. He keeps talking about God and who are you in the relationship with God. What's your standing with Him, and do you know Him, and are you serving Him? He just won't quit. She said, "I know the Messiah is coming. When He comes, He will tell us all things." And Jesus said, "I who speak to you am." There it is. In fact, this woman returns to town. She leaves her water jar, verse 28, and she in verse 29. She says, "Come see a man who told me all I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" She did not say, "Let's all go out and play 20 questions with this guy. He knows how to play religious 20 questions really, really good." She knew from one conversation. This wasn't like anybody she'd ever. He set the tone. He steered the conversation. He made her come to grips with the reality of the Messiah. Thought about that? You thought about that? That's Jesus. You visit with Jesus, and that's how it's going to go. I consistently believe that we have missed it in the Bible. When somehow we imagine that Jesus was this wimpy little guy, the bearded lady who wouldn't hurt a fly. In Scripture, not medieval painting, in Scripture, Jesus is a larger-than-life figure. He dominated the scene anywhere and everywhere He went. He commanded the conversation, and people deferred to Him simply by the force of His presence. You sit down with Jesus. You will not teach Him. You will not interrupt Him. You will not decide what we are talking about. Jesus will do all of that because He is Jesus Christ. And He's doing that, show me this next slide. He's doing that because Jesus expects people, when He talks with them, to engage and to draw conclusions and to follow after Him. That's what it's about, building a relationship where we trust Jesus enough to do what He says. And so when people are talking with Jesus, that's where He's going with that. I can show you that too. Look in John 3. In John 3, there's a famous conversation there with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was, in John 3, a Sanhedrin councilman. Would you be impressed to have coffee with a U.S. senator? Would you think that's kind of a neat thing? There's only 100 of those guys. They're pretty powerful. Nicodemus was on the Sanhedrin. There's only 70 of them. They ran things. This guy is a power broker. He comes to see Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 1, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, 'Rabbi, we know that You're a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him.'" I'm Mr. Important. And I'm opening with a compliment. Aren't you impressed with me? Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Jesus is not real impressed, is he? And Jesus goes right away to spiritual truth that Nicodemus needs. He cuts to the chase directly and immediately. Let's talk about the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is gasping for air. How can a man, verse 4, be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from and where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. You get a real sense here of, let's go, Nicodemus. Keep up. You said some things about signs and wonders, and that means God is with me. Do you see what that's pointing to? Have you seen all the way to the end of that? Are you thinking about it? Are you thinking it through? Are you drawing the right conclusion? Nicodemus says, look further in John chapter 3, Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Jesus said, are you a teacher of Israel? And you don't understand these things? Come on, fellas. Let's pick it up here a little bit. I'm teaching. You need to look in the Scriptures and see the things that I'm doing and what I'm saying and how it all adds up, and you need to put it together and you need to run the equation, you need to do the math, and you need to see who I am. That's what John 3 is all about. Nicodemus, you need to pay attention. In fact, none of that should surprise you. Jesus is always doing that kind of thing. From the beginning, in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus was away from his parents for a couple of days, they finally find him. Where is Jesus at 12 years old? In Luke chapter 2, in verse 46. In Luke 2, 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple. He was sitting among the teachers listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus did that all the time, didn't he? Engaging people, making people think. Watch over in Luke 10. In Luke chapter 10, a fellow jumped up, thought he was going to be real smart. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25, a lawyer stood up, put him to the test. Luke 10, 25, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, verse 26, you ever read your Bible? How's your Bible read? Well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, your neighbor as yourself. Luke 10, 27, Jesus said to him, bingo. That's not in the Greek. You have answered correctly, do this and you shall live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, who's my neighbor? Whoop. I'm going to see if I can climb back into this conversation. I'll show Jesus what's what. Jesus replied, verse 30, I'm going to tell you a story about a man that got beat up and robbed. And two really religious guys didn't do one thing to help that fella, but a Samaritan, a dirty dog Samaritan, helped that man. The conclusion of that story, Jesus said, which of these three, verse 36, do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Not enough just talk about it. Not enough just to think about it. We're going to have to do something about it. You still in Luke 10? In Luke 10, verse 40, Jesus was in Mary and Martha's house. Martha, verse 40, was distracted getting the coffee. It does not say. She was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about so many things. One thing is necessary. Mary's chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Jesus never talked theology in an abstract way. He was absolutely uninterested in mindless minutiae or rambling about talking about a bunch of ecclesiastical nonsense. Jesus was in the now. And he always talked to people about right now, living to honor God, living to serve the Lord. He was very confrontational, and he pushed people to think and to examine and to put the pieces together. He was not interested in esoteric doctrines that are divorced from real living. He pushed for a relationship with people where they knew him and they trusted him so they would follow him. That's what this is about. You go do likewise. And I must say, that is one of the things that I love the most about conversations with Jesus. Because today, what people want to do is hold Jesus at arm's length. And they want to put it up in neutral and not make a decision about Jesus. You know what people say. Oh, I think he was a great. Oh, he was a wise savior. He was a hipster guru. You have your truth. I have my truth. Maybe the worst thing of all, people say, you know, whatever. I haven't really thought about Jesus that much. Really? Really? Our neighbor passed away a couple of years ago. Dean and I went to the funeral, tried to provide some comfort and pay our respects. Man's grown son stood up. Very hardcore atheist. The young man said, Dad, if you're out there, if there is an out there, I hope you're. If the most significant question of life is what comes next when this life ends. Nobody ever thought about it. Nobody ever probed. Nobody ever studied. Nobody ever examined. God came here in the flesh. God invaded our world, did amazing miracles and signs to verify that he was exactly who he said he is. He did incredible things like rise from the dead. Also, people would know he was Jesus Christ, Lord of Lord and King of Kings. Jesus will talk with people. He will visit with people. But what he will never tolerate is somebody who shrugs their shoulders and says, oh, whatever. Jesus' eyes will flash. And with that commanding voice, he will say, think about it. See what I'm doing. Hear my teachings. You know the truth about me, and now you must follow me. That's what it's about. That's what a relationship with Jesus is all about. Come to the Lord. Engage. See who he is. Then draw the right conclusion. Jesus would talk with lots of people. But when he did that, he confronted them, absolutely refusing to allow anybody to hold him back or remain neutral. Come on. Think about it. Listen to me. Think some more. Now put it all together. Do you get it? Do you see who I am? Come follow me. In Luke 9:57, every one of these conversations is exactly the same. Luke 9:57, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You thought about it? You're so big on following me. You're going to do that? You realize the cost? Verse 59, to another he said, follow me. He said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said, no. You let the dead bury their own dead. As for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord. Let me first say farewell to those at home. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Every one of those conversations, confrontation, discussion, push, thought, come, follow me. You want to see it again? Look in Luke 24. And maybe what is my favorite private conversation, two men on the road to Emmaus. Visit with Jesus. after the crawl, after the resurrection. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus appears. He said to them in verse 17, "What then is this conversation you are holding with each other?" They stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem, and you don't know the things that have happened here these days?" He said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the man who is a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. We had hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. And yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things happened. And moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb this morning. They didn't find his body. They came back saying, verse 23, that they'd even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb. They found it as the women said, but him they did not see." Oh, you know what's happening. Jesus climbs smack in the middle of this. "Oh, foolish ones," verse 25, "and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Listen to what they said in verse 32 when this audience with Jesus was over. In verse 32, they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures?" More than one person talked with Jesus Christ and was never the same after that conversation. That's what it's like to talk to Jesus. And the takeaway for you and me as we think about everyday discipleship is that I need to make Jesus a lot realer in me. That's why I'm not asking what would it be like to have a cup of water with Jesus and Jacob. I'm asking about a cup of coffee with Jesus because that helps us see that Jesus is real. And it helps me think about what would happen if I had conversation with Jesus. What would he ask me as he began to point to the things I need to begin a relationship with him, or the things in my relationship with him that are missing? Because Jesus always pushes, confronts, get engaged, think, draw some conclusion. Come, follow me. So I do love coffee an awful lot. And on long afternoons, there is a Starbucks not very far from my office. And I get sometimes a little sleepy, need to stretch. I'll get up, drive over there. I'm there enough to kind of recognize me and visit a little bit. But I wonder what I'd think if I walked into my Starbucks and in the corner at the table, there was a tall figure in a white robe. "Mark, I knew you'd be in today. Let's get some coffee. I want to talk to you." In many ways, it would just illustrate what the Bible shows us, how much Jesus is interested in people. And I would know that if I sit down with Jesus, he is going to set agenda. That in that conversation, I'm going to be deeply challenged to be a disciple or up my discipleship substantially and follow after him. Truth of the matter is, I don't have to meet Jesus in my local store. All I have to do is open the pages of the Bible, and there I see Jesus. There I hear Jesus. And just as Zacchaeus was told, "Come down, I'm going to your house today because I want to talk to you so I can learn and see and know that I can be in a relationship with Jesus Christ where I know him and trust him and follow him every day. Let's pray. You pray with me? Almighty God and Father in heaven, we are awed by your Son. He is so incredible and amazing. His love for ordinary people, His desire to talk with and engage with people. Help us, Father, to see that more clearly in the gospel. Help us to see how Jesus was never too busy to talk with someone seeking truly after Him. Help us to see, Father, that Jesus didn't want to just shoot the breeze and while the time away. He wanted to talk about the kingdom and about you and about knowing and trusting Him. Help us, Father, then to engage, think, for all the right, so that we will follow your Son. In His blessed name that we pray.
And amen. Thanks for listening to this sermon. If you want to hear more of Mark's lessons, you can hear him in person at the Westside Church of Christ in Irving, Texas, where Mark preaches regularly. Visit the website for Westside at justchristians.com, and you'll find directions and times of services and can even download more of Mark's lessons. Thanks for your interest, and we hope you'll use the Westside Church as a resource to help you to get to know Jesus Christ.